Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
The ability to follow the gaze of a member of one's own species is common behavior, so common that some consider it instinctual. The question arose, why is this so difficult for dogs? The animal with which we have spent the most time and the most intimate time for the longest period of time. Why is it so difficult for dogs to follow our gaze, to look where we're looking? To look where we're pointing. Why don't they do that? Is this a deeply entrenched phenomena, or is it something new? A group of researchers at the Mercelli Research Institute in Vienna, Austria, developed an experiment to determine what factors might be involved. Their experiment involved 145 border collies kept as companion animals. And they came from a range of ages as well as training backgrounds. The researchers used a mixed group because they wanted to determine whether age or training was a factor in the animal's ability to follow the human gaze. The results of this were surprising. The untrained dogs had no trouble following the human gaze. It was the trained dogs who couldn't do it. The researchers proposed that this occurred because training teaches dogs to focus on the owner's face rather than what the owner is focusing on. And I thought about that. I thought about that a lot. What does it say about the way we're training dogs compared to the way they evolved? Perhaps this is another area where we need to rethink training. To maybe expand our perceptions. In typical training, based on behaviorism, we get the dog to establish eye contact, or what we think is eye contact. We give a command in a language that the dog, fortunately, is willing to learn to accommodate us, and then the dog obeys. If we look at behavior in a young puppy, the young puppy learns by social learning and modeling. The puppy follows the adults. The puppies mimic the adults. All of the parental training is done in context. As the puppy matures and becomes part of a social structure, the puppy will follow the lead of the individual who appears the most confident under those circumstances. Not only does it result in a form of learning to ensure the good of the individual as well as the group, it also serves as a model to younger animals of how to teach as they mature. So the adolescent dog is learning from parents at the same time as the adolescent is learning how to share those same lessons with younger animals. Last week I spoke about alarm calls. Another possible option is to just follow the gaze of an individual perceived to be more physically, behaviorally, and emotionally fit in that situation. Now there are no sound cues. Instead, there is a silent form of communication. After I read this article about dogs, I started to think about how Fricka was with her puppies and just look at things and how they would inevitably look at what she looked at. Now I find that a lot of times if something engages my attention, it will engage their attention too. At least for a while. When I want them to find something and I point to it, it takes them a while to transfer from looking at me to looking at where I'm pointing. Now I'm going to pay more attention to that, getting out of this teaching mode and focusing more on modeling, to what kind of model I am. I shudder to think. probably in the end it boils down to balance, particularly since most of our companion dogs live in a pretty artificial environment. An artificial human environment where expectations demanded of dogs is quite different than those they would encounter in their natural environment. The definition of a well-behaved dog has become equated with that of a well-trained dog, although there are times when well-trained dogs are not particularly well-behaved. But I like the idea of balance. There are things that we and our animals can only communicate via eye contact, and there are other things that we communicate or should be communicating by modeling the proper behavior, by looking where we want the animal to look, by being quiet when we want the animal to be quiet, by moving when we want the animal to move. It's not an either-or situation, it's a question of balancing the two.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.